Hello, and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. I'm your host, Tammy, and I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in with the Butterfly Evolution Show tonight. A special thank you to our Butterfly Evolution family, those of you who listen each and every Monday night, and special thanks to our newcomers, first-timers. I think that we're going to have a couple of new first-timers that are on with us tonight. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone that's tuned in with us tonight. Be sure to tell someone about the show, about Butterfly Evolution. Share it with someone. We're here each and every Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. All shows are archived and available to be heard later at your convenience. So do share the details of the show. I want to remind you before going into the show of just of a few housekeeping things. Our chat line is open. For those of you who are listening, you can submit your questions or comments by way of chat, of course. And if you prefer not to do it there, you can also call in. Our call-in number is 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. You do have to select the number 1. Only if you have a question or a comment, something to add to tonight's show. I will pull you into the show by providing you the area code that you are calling from along with the last 4 digits of the number, again, that you are calling from. So area code and last 4 digits is how I will pull you in if you do select the number 1. Also want to just throw out there and keep reminding everyone of our trash can concept. Butterfly Evolution Baby, we call it, one of them. What we do is ask and remind our listeners to move a trash can, the trash can in your home that you use the absolute most. In doing this, you will find that you return to the old location. In most cases, if you're like I was, I am still sometimes, I'm getting better at this, but in moving it, what you will find is that you often will return to the location that you moved it from. And what that should do for you is allow you to realize how our mind keeps up with even the most seemingly insignificant or insignificant things that we get accustomed to doing in our lives. So we do things sometimes without much thought process. We just kind of return to where we know it is. No different from things that go on in our lives, the things that we get used to, the people that we get used to, no matter if they're good or bad for us, if it's working for us, if it's not. We sometimes just get stuck in routine because it is what we know. It is what we're used to. It is what we're accustomed to dealing with. So we would prefer to stay there. This show is about transformation. It is about change. It is about renewing the mind, capturing thoughts, taking things captive, those thoughts, taking them captive so that they line up, that you make sure that they line up with where you are wanting to go, your destiny. Another baby that we like to just continue to throw out there to remind you of the importance of your thoughts. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow habit, you reach character, and your character will lead you directly to your destiny. So what we think in our minds of ourselves, of people, of this world, all of that leads to our destiny, our future. Because it will lead you down the line of your actions and so forth, your habits and things like that. So keep those 2 things in mind. If you're a first-time listener, you know, start to think about your thoughts. Start taking them captive. Move your trash can. Play this game with your kids and so forth. But we have to start thinking about what we're putting in our heads and what we're allowing to manifest out of our thoughts. You have to know, again, who you are as well in order to make sure that those thoughts are lining up with where you want to go in your life. So make sure that you keep doing those things if you've not already started them. So tonight's topic, I see that we've had some people just kind of coming in, so just want to remind you guys, if you have a question or a comment, you can select the number one for you all that have just come in on the phone. So tonight's topic is understanding and overcoming rejection. And I still thought that of all this time we've been on the air that we did a show on rejection, but we had not. We have not. So very timely to do this. I want to, again, so tonight's topic, understanding and overcoming rejection. And I want to read the details or the description that I put out. Again, some of you are not able to see this, so I want to read it. Have you allowed the wounds of rejection to control your present and future? Any type of rejection, whether it's due to an absent parent, unsuccessful marriage, or relationship, can be painful. It is important to understand that no one can avoid rejection. It is equally important to understand that rejection should not determine your happiness, how you live, love, or respond to life. Rejection is inevitable. If embraced and looked upon as an opportunity to grow, it is possible that you will learn more about yourself and understand that rejection is often protection or simply a restored ending. So, keeping this quote in mind as you prepare for this show is what I put out there. And this came with a picture, and I wish everyone could see this, but this quote says, and it's Dita Von Teese quote, and it says, "You could be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world, and there is still going to be someone in the world that hates peaches." And it showed this beautiful basket of what seemingly is the most ripest, juiciest peaches in the world. And what this is saying, and I really hope that everyone gets this, no matter what you do, how perfect you try to be, how much you try to satisfy or be accommodating to someone based on their needs, it's not going to work for everyone. It is simply not going to work. So what you have to really do first and foremost, and we could take it back a bit further, is love yourself. Also goes back to the first and greatest commandment, love God with your heart, soul, and mind, with everything. But unless you love yourself and know who you are and you are at a place of contentment, everything about your life is off, even the way you love God and the way that you see God or the way that you know or if you know God loves you. So every show that we do is going to have to come back from my part, my take, my opinion, is going to have to come back to your relationship with the Creator, your personal relationship. I personally feel that we were created to have a personal relationship, to be renewed, to become new, because we are evil. We are offset, if that's a good word to say. I know I was. So rejection, no matter what it is, whether it's rejection or protection, whatever you want to say, it has to start there. You have to have some love for yourself and some understanding and be at a place of contentment and peace with who you are first and foremost. Now, it goes farther because you don't have to settle for who you are, and we should not. We should always be working to renew and to become more Christ-like. So keep that quote in mind. Again, you could be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world, and there's still going to be someone in the world that hates peaches. It may be the very one that you love the most and that you are the most accommodating for and to. It may be that person, and that's why you have to love yourself. I want to start this show off a little bit different. I received some comments from some people prior to the show, and two of them I want to share. One of them came from a young lady, and I want to share some information with you about her. She actually just released a book. I'm going to tell you about that as well. But her comment was, and this is from Lavenda Smith, I've learned this through the, and this is after she read the details of the show, which I just read to you. She wrote, I've learned this throughout the past year. It took me a long time before it settled in my spirit, but God knew when I would, he would release the healing of knowledge dealing with something like this in that manner. I praise God for the healing, the knowledge of understanding. Everyone will not accept you, but it doesn't matter. Just as long as you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he accepts you. So that was her comment. This young lady has recently released her first book. It is called Reflection to My Past, Restoration to My Present, and Revelation to My Future. And it is currently, her name is Lavenda Smith, and again, it is currently on at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Baker & Taylor, and then OutskirtsPress.com/past-present-future. If you miss any of that, you can always go back and listen to the first part of the show and get that, or you can contact her on Facebook, Lavenda, L-E-V-E-N-D-A, Smith, and I hope I spelled that correctly. But you can also, again, go back and listen there, and you'll be able to find her on there. It's L-A-V-E-N-D-A, I'm sorry, Lavenda Smith. Now, also, I received one from Andre Curry, and he's been on the show. He's been a guest on the show previously, and his was very interesting because it confirmed the direction that I plan to go on tonight's show. So Andre wrote, there are lots of different forms of rejection. However, usually we have rejected ourselves far before someone rejects us. Usually someone else's words or actions of rejection are just confirmations of our physical, spiritual, emotional, or psychological rejection of ourselves by ourselves. And that one hit home in just such a way because, again, that the direction that I plan to take with tonight's show is not about how someone makes you feel, what someone does to you. It's not about what someone does for you or doesn't do for you. It's more about you. How do you feel about yourself? Who are you? Do you know who you are? If you do, are you at a place of contentment and peace? And if not, are you working to change those things? Are you working to renew your mind and to not be conformed to this world? What do you stand for? Do you know? Because when you know who you are, when you are content, when you know what you stand for, and more importantly, sometimes what you will not stand for, what someone does or how someone chooses to feel about you will not affect you in such a way where it handicaps your life. So you have to have some peace. So, again, his hit home again so much because he's saying that in many cases, when you are living a life feeling like you are being rejected or have been rejected, you, for some reason, it doesn't mean that you've chosen to just take upon rejection, but something somewhere has happened in your life that has allowed rejection to set in such a way until it has become your life. It has become the ruler of your life. And I can say to my listeners, there was a time where, whether I wanted to face it or not, I was there, and I had to face that music. And in some ways, I'm still having to face it. I'm still dealing with some of those wounds that I allowed to set in, that I allowed what people chose to think, say, do, how they felt, what they didn't feel. I allowed those things to take control of my life and direct my life in such a way till it became detrimental to who I was, So, again, tonight's show is more about you and why you feel, if you feel, that you are in the midst of dealing with rejection, or maybe you have been. So ask yourself, do you allow your life, your day, your peace, and your emotions to be controlled by people, things, places, or even your circumstances? Because things change. Life happens. People will disappoint you. Even the people that, again, you do the most for, that you are the most accommodating for, sometimes they are the very people that will reject you. And you have to also understand why they may be rejecting you. And we'll get into that as we go through the show. I want to define rejection as best I can. I find it very difficult to give a definition that, I guess that I support, so to speak. And here is why. Because I feel it's basically, I keep saying who you are. It depends on, again, who you are and what you want or expect, your perception of life, your reality of yourself and your life, and how you're living or how you've lived. Also, your expectations of people and your present and your future. So that's why I find it just difficult to just say, here's what it means and here's, you know, this is the overall definition and it should fit everybody. But just for the sake of this show, I'm going to read what Webster says rejection, the meaning of rejection is. Now, as we go, we're going to get into some more areas that may help define rejection for you, because, again, this is just too broad for me. But Webster defines it as to refuse to accept, submit to, believe, or make use of. So to refuse to accept, submit to, believe, or make use of. Another one, to refuse to consider or grant, to deny, basically. Third one, to refuse to recognize or give affection to, and this is speaking to a person. So to refuse to recognize or give affection to a person, to discard as defective or useless, to throw away. So I'm going to, and the lines are open, you guys. If you have experienced rejection, if you're currently experiencing the feeling of rejection, if you have some ways that you came through, came out, you want to share how you got to that point of realizing, of coming through, whatever, please do share. There is nothing that you share here that may not help someone else out, because, you know, there may not be on tonight, but many, many people, many more people listen to this show after the show. So you never know who you will be able to bless through your story. So allow your story to bring someone else some glory. So just please share. And I'm going to check the chat line as I say that real quick. Okay, we're okay there. I'm going to give a couple of scenarios of, and this will help kind of define for me why this definition is so broad and we just can't narrow it down, because, again, it depends on your past, where you are now, how you've allowed things to set in, your reality and your perception. So here are a few scenarios that I'm going to go through. And as I go through these, imagine what it will feel like for you to experience these things. And as you imagine it, imagine yourself being a child, maybe a teenager, and an adult. And I'll share with you why as we come to the end of the scenarios. So here's I'm going to give you a good number of them and figure out where you fit in, if you fit in any of them at all. Scenario number one, you spent all summer training for the cheerleading squad or football team or some sort of event or activity. You gave up weeks of fun to practice. You learned every step or play. You made the first cut and then the second. But it's the final day, and when the coach posts the list, your name is not on it. Okay, scenario number two. You reach out to a parent, but he or she does not respond or does not want to have a relationship with you. Number three, you ask someone out on a date. He or she says no, You ask someone for, if you could call them, their phone number. He or she says no. Another one, you apply for a job, get the interview, and think you have a great shot at getting the job. But at the end, you're not hired. Another one, your boyfriend or girlfriend of many years breaks up with you, or your spouse wants a divorce. You are not invited to hang out or to go to a part to the party of the school year, or for grown-ups, you're not invited to the event of the year, or you're not invited to someone's wedding who you thought was a friend. Some may see death of a loved one as a sign of rejection. Someone may consider being looked over for a promotion that they were qualified for and felt they deserved as rejection. Others may be turned down for a purchase, such as a home, auto, or denied for a credit, not accepted to a popular school or a social club. This kind of what the world says validates us, and they may see that, too, as rejection. Some may consider, and I think I deal with this one quite a bit, because I'm not really good at returning phone calls in some ways. But some may consider if you don't return their phone call right away in a timely manner or answer an email, some people even see that as a rejection. And again, because of what they've already experienced in life. Many also feel rejected if someone does not speak. And here's a good one. If someone does not speak or acknowledge them. And this could happen at church, at work. If you see someone out at the mall and you don't speak, and so on. I've known people to really feel rejected because of things like that. And sometimes it's not even that. I know for me, I have seen people and my mind is somewhere, my mind is on something, and I just don't speak at the time, but they've taken it wrong. They assume that something's going on. Some feel rejected, and this is, you know, I can relate to this. Probably men will relate to this more, because usually men will ask women to dance, but men are often, they often feel rejected if they ask a lady to dance and that the lady says no. And it could go both ways, but for the most part, men usually ask women to dance if they're out. So that could even make someone feel rejected, and sometimes it's our tone and what we say and how we say it. So as you can see, rejection is just like beauty, really. It's in the eye of the beholder. It really is about your perception and where you are in life with yourself. Now, again, I asked you to kind of picture yourself going through one or any of those scenarios and picture yourself being a child, a teenager, or an adult. And the reason I ask you to do that because I feel like most of us, when we go into the world, for the most part, many of us enter into this world or go through our childhood with a sense of or feeling of being rejected for some reason. We feel misunderstood, not validated enough, especially in this world we're in today, because we have most families or most households are ran by single parents who are working and so forth, and children are really raising themselves. So no one is really taking time out to help a child identify with who they are, learn who they are. So I feel like most of us go through our teenage years, which is already a difficult time, coming from home feeling rejected. And by the time you get to school, kids are cruel. You may not be asked out on a date. You may not get asked to go to the prom. You may not get the first job that you apply for. You may not do so well as your friend in school. You may not be as good in basketball or football as your friend. And you're always looking at the outside trying to measure up because you feel like you don't measure up for the people that birth you. You feel like you've not been really validated or not really understood. So it's so important, parents, if you're out there listening, it's so important so that your children don't grow up, like most of us, in the midst of or living life feeling rejected. And then everything that happens from that point on is taken in a negative aspect, and we'll get to that as well. So I did, although I said I could not really find a way to define rejection, I did run into, as I was studying more on this, and I'll tell you all, I did not have a topic for tonight. I really pondered, am I going to do a show tonight? Because I kept thinking, Lord, I'm blank. I just don't have anything. And as I was in studying, and I wasn't really just studying in my word, I was just kind of praying and talking to myself around here, as I have come to do here often lately, and I just clearly heard rejection. And I didn't really know where, again, I thought we'd already did a show on rejection, but we had not. So I just kind of started fishing around, doing some searching, and I continue to say, the more it's when every now and then, of course, I'll pick a show. It's a Tammy show. It really is. It's an easy show. It's a Tammy show. But I feel like God deals with me more so than you all with these topics, because the more I dig, you start to realize how things affect you for different reasons. So I have to deal with my own demons. I still have to pull some roots up myself. But thank God, it's a growing process. So as I continue to say, the shows and the topics are as much for me as they are you. So don't just let it stop there. If something registers with your spirit on Monday night when you're listening to these shows, study that topic. Go in the Word or whatever works for you. Get to know who you are. Eliminate, throw away, take captive anything that does not line up with where you want to go. Don't feel like you are part of this world. Don't feel like the government shutdown means that your life is going to shut down too. Because when I hear government shutdown, all I can think of, I know someone, and I post it, who doesn't shut down, who answers when you call, who knows everything about you, and at the twinkle of an eye can shut all this down. Even the people that think that they have shut it down, he can shut it all down. So, but you got to know who you are. You got to know what you stand for. You got to see rejection as protection, because you know who you are and whose you are. You know who knows you. You know who have called you according to his purpose to bring him glory. You got to know all that. So in doing that, you will learn that, hey, I'm not being rejected. This is a hurting person. This person's got some stuff going on. So in my study, I came across an article, and it actually talked about factual rejection and fantasy rejection. The factual did not appeal to me very much, so I'm not going to talk about that much, but if it sounds intriguing or interesting to you, look it up. But the fantasy rejection really did kind of capture me. It kind of pulled me in. And fantasy, of course, you know, it's just a fantasy. It's something that's not real. And I feel like we deal with more fantasy rejection than we do factual. And again, you know, factual would be someone's really, really rejecting you because they just really, really want to. I just don't think that people really treat us badly, because not for the most part. Now, there are some people that the Bible talks about being evil, and they won't go to sleep at night unless they have started some mess and whatever. It does exist. But I think we deal with more fantasy rejection because of the things that we've already talked about tonight. The roots within us, the things that we went through as a child, the things that we feel like we were deprived of, the feeling of not being validated, not being loved, not being important, and then you add all the things that life gives to you anyway, what do you come up with? What do you have of life seemingly full of rejection, a fantasy? So fantasy rejection basically is a feeling that we've been rejected, that we are failures, that we've not really met up to someone else's expectations of us. And again, think about the peach. Think about you could be the juiciest, prettiest, and the most loveliest basket if we want to add something to it, and someone will not like the peach. So what that does when you're living in a world of fantasy rejection, you basically think everyone is rejecting me. Even the smallest thing can happen, and you feel rejected. I can pass you, and just my mind is somewhere else. I don't speak, or maybe I don't say it the way you think I should say it, and you feel rejected. Because, again, what's already in you. And rejection is a specialty for me in attacking emotions that are already there. It basically just wakes up something, some type of feeling, something that you've gone through. It attacks that emotion, and it just wakes it up. It says, I'm still here. That person just made you feel just like the other person did, or like you felt all your life. This person rejected you just like everyone else had. You're not good enough. You can't do this. That's what rejection tells you. No one accepts me. Or this person's going to leave me. They're not going to stay with me. They're not going to love me. So I might as well just make it disappear. I might as well just tear it down before this person does it. So the pain of rejection, let me say the fantasy rejection, it really does make, it makes one get into this counterattack mode to something that has not occurred. It's all in your mind, in some cases. And that makes a person vulnerable to life because, as I said, life is going to happen, and people will for sure disappoint you every day, every day. I shared some time ago that In reading A Course in Miracles, I never forget this phrase just kind of stopped me in my reading. It said, remember no good or evil about anyone. And you guys that listen all the time, you hopefully remember this. But it said, remember no good or evil about anyone. And I thought, that's crazy. How can you not remember the good things that people do to you, you know, the evil things or whatever? How can you not remember that, especially the good? And it explained it in more detail, saying that the person that has did good to you all of your life, the right time, given the right time, right situation, and I'm going to add this, for the right amount of money, they become your enemy tomorrow. Because the person that we feel, and this is my words added, the person that we feel the most comfortable with or who has did the best for us or gives us their best, that's probably the person that we share the most with, that they know some of our deepest secrets, the things that we don't want out. So think about it. That person tomorrow, right price, right time, maybe you said something that ticked them off the day before, that person could become your enemy tomorrow because people change, things change. Flip side of that, the person that has been your enemy, seemingly not had your back, not been there for you, example, they can have an encounter with our Creator and change, and tomorrow ask your forgiveness or become your best friend, have the most concern for you. So it was basically saying, and it took me some time to really grasp this and get this because I was still stuck on that. I don't get that one. But basically saying every day give someone a clean sheet of paper. And think about if we did that. Where would rejection lie in that? If you woke up every day, if people woke up, the people that I've wronged, the people that I've mistreated, the people I've said things that I should not have said to, what if they woke up every day and just said, wrote my name on top and that's it. She has a new day, clean day with me. It would be awesome. So, as I was saying, the pain of rejection puts us in this counteractive, defensive kind of living to something that has not occurred and may not occur. not only does it do that, it opens up all kind of demonic attention, spiritual attacks, because Satan knows what to throw at us. Satan knows those wounds that we have buried, that we want to keep buried, and we think that we did a good job doing so. But again, when something happens, when something stirs up, you know, it's like hitting a sore that you have covered up, but you can put all the Band-Aids and the pads on a broken leg and put a cast on it, but if the person hits that cast with the right thing, you're going to feel it. And that's what we do with a lot of our emotions. And again, rejection, that feeling of rejection, attacks our emotions, those things that are already there within us. So I'm going to check the chat line. You guys are not going to leave me hanging. I know I'm not the only one that have experienced rejection or have. Maybe you're cured. Tell me the cure-all. Tell me how you got through it, if so. So if you're out there, do select it first. The new people just came in. If you select the number one to post your or to provide your comment or question, if you're calling in on the online, and if you're on the chat line, do share your comments there as well. So getting back to the show, there's a saying, and as I talked about, you know, people, there are some people that are just going to do what they do. Hurting people, I know you've all heard this, especially on this show, hurting people hurt people. But hurting people, that process, hurting people also in that process definitely hurt themselves. Because when we're living in this fantasy rejection or even factual rejection, which, again, I'm not going to get too much into, when you're living there, you're not really living life. You're not embracing life. You're living on the defense. You're living a hopeless life, expecting the worst. So it's not that you are living your best life. You're offensive. And so what that does is you start to become the hurting people. You start to treat people in a negative way, rejecting people. I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. I think you're going to hurt me, so I'm just going to go ahead and do you before you do me. And a lot of people, believe it or not, a lot of people are living like that. A lot of relationships, a lot of marriages have gone astray because of undealt with emotions that are being attacked by things such as rejection. And we don't really talk about or really think about, we spend more what's going on inside of us. We spend more time looking at TV, reality shows, the news, whatever. And all that does is feed more in us. It's not reality. It's not our reality. So we have to learn to talk about the things that we're dealing with so that we can heal, so that our minds can be renewed, so that we can live this life. Have life more abundantly. We're walking around with all this stuff in us and dealing with it in a very negative way. Our children are growing up in it. So we're producing or reproducing these things over and over and over again. So, again, it's causing us to lash out with words, with things, two things that have not happened to us. It's just twisted nature. That's what rejection is, attacking our emotions, our wounds. So there are unlimited ways I'm going to talk about, and I'm not going to keep it too long tonight, but I do want to get through all of this and do your own research afterwards. But there are unlimited ways which we can kind of enter in rejection. I've given you a few, and but it's so broad, and as I mentioned earlier, it depends on you, your perception and reality, and your roots. What's the root of it all? We did a show, What's the Root of It All, just asking you to really dig deep and determine what makes you you, what makes things hurt you, what ticks for you. I may have mentioned some of these earlier, but a few more are the conception of being unwanted. I would say that because many cases we feel unwanted may not be the case. We have to teach people and tell people. We have to communicate on how we need to be loved. Now, once a person does that, it's your responsibility on the receiving end, whichever end you're on, to attempt to love the person the best way you can. And this is not just a relationship. This could be mother-daughter, father-daughter. Everybody receives love differently and needs things differently. So the conception of being unwanted could just really be the you not communicating what you need and or someone else not being able to really give you what they need because they're lacking so much. So it's a two-way street. Rejection is a two-way street. Some, you may feel rejected by someone who also feels rejected and don't know how to receive what you're giving. But do we talk about it? No, we don't. I know I was good for not communicating. I could have won an award. I would shut down. I mean, for months. I would just shut it down. Don't want to deal with you. Selfish, inconsiderate, all of that. I can say that now because I realized that's what it was. Immature, all of that and more. It wasn't that I was wanted. I wasn't communicating how I needed to receive things. Again, not just about a man and a woman, not just about relationships. This is about overall relationships. Other things, marital problems, personal marital problems between you and a spouse, or marital problems between your parents. Often kids feel rejected when divorce happens because you have two egotistic people who are thinking about me, 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 what you didn't do for me, what you did to me, and not realizing how the children see each of you as part of them. You are their one plus one, and it equals them. So marital problems, especially for children, can be detrimental, depending on how the parents go through that. Criticism. People who are dealing with rejection can't handle criticism, even if they know it's true, because, again, what they're dealing with. Seeing favoritism amongst siblings. I was talking to someone about this the other day, how I can only say this because I only have one child, but I don't understand how parents can, how parents can love one child more than the other. But it happens. So imagine what someone grows up who feels inadequate, feels like I'm living in my brother's or my sister's shadow. I'm not as good as them. Poverty. This is amazing, but if you really think about it, some people, depending on their lifestyle, where they're brought up, where they live, they can go out in the world and meet someone who has a bit more, seemingly has a bit more, and there's no arrogance that come with it. And just because of different lifestyles and the things that they have, they may reject that person just because you have more. Even we could take that a bit further. I didn't have this in my notes, but even the way someone looks, the color of the skin, the hair. I know within the African-American race, the black race, some are rejected because cousins reject others, and I've mentioned this on the show, because of their skin color. So there are so many forms. This is so broad, and that's why you have to know what it is that's inside of you. Another one is dominating parents or dominating parents. Unemployment. And I want to go back to that dominating parent because I hear more and more of that happening. It's either overkill or not at all. There's no, seems to be few balance there. I was listening and heard that some parents, this was actually, I believe, on 60 Minutes, some parents will go to their children's college and still wash their clothes, like on a regular basis, like go drive there, wash their clothes, or submit applications for them. And now these are grown people, not children. So it's like dominating. And I think then parents are trying to live through their kids. So we just have a lot of grown people walking around with stuff. Because I personally feel, my take, as I mentioned earlier, we were created to have a relationship with our Creator. We're so far. We're serving and seeking everything but that. People will think just because you read the word of the day that pops up on your cell phone, you got the app, it sends you a quick word, you read it, you post it, boom, I got my God in for today. And when God speaks to you, you don't know it's him because you're looking for it to pop up on your iPhone, on the app. So we've gotten so far away. And our kids are getting just that much farther away because what do? For them? We put the TVs in the cars. We don't talk to them in the car. They watch a movie because we're on the phone. At home, they sit in front of the TV all day. We very rarely ask when they come through the door, how was your day? Is everything okay? We very rarely say, I love you. We very rarely chastise them. And believe it or not, kids look at. I had someone that actually told Brandon, at least your mom cares, because I was getting on him about not letting me know where he was. If he tells me he's going to McDonald's and he, you know, this is when he was young, and he says, I'm going to McDonald's, we're going there to eat or whatever, but somehow you end up at Burger King, and I'm thinking you're at McDonald's, so if something happens at Burger King, I'm thinking, hey, you're cool because you're at McDonald's. Let me know where you are. And I remember his friend saying, well, at least your mom cares and wants to know where you are. Kids really look at, there's so many things that we are trying to give them, all these things, and when really at the end of the day, they need structure, love, patience, understanding, validation, and God. You've got to put that word in them, and they got to see you living it. But we're growing up, broken people. We feel rejected so much so sometimes people feel rejected by their children, or they feel like they're in competition with their children. I'm constantly hearing mother and daughter battles. So it's so much going on, so much. Let me check. We have a caller. Hi, we have Miss Earlene on the phone with us, online with us.
Hi, Tammy. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine. How are you?
Doing good. Listen, I know you probably haven't gotten to this yet, but in my experiences in life in terms of rejection, what I have here is what has become the most powerful antidote for me in any feelings of rejection I've had. And I think it's just something we all know, but I think it's just so hard to grasp. And I think we all read in Psalms about God knowing us and forming us. But I came across Jeremiah 1:5 that says, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I approved of you. And I think in Psalms it talks about he knows the hairs on our heads and all of that, but to approve of us. And I think that's just something it's just kind of hard to get in our spirit. And I think even if you're dealing with fantasy, rejection, or factual, I think it doesn't matter when it comes to this antidote, because nobody knows us as well as God does. Yet he knows us, and he knows everything about us, including all of our faults, and he still approves. And that is just so hard to kind of sink into our psyche. He sees our heart and doesn't just see the exterior, which a lot of other people who reject us see, and even that part of us that gets us into trouble, like that's the flesh. He does not approve of our wrong behavior, but he is committed to us as an individual, and I think it's just kind of hard for us to see that. I think if we could get that and grasp that, I just think it's so much easier to be able to just kind of turn away rejection. It just doesn't become quite as important that
time getting to know the person, the Creator, who knows the most, even more than we know about ourselves. We spend less time nurturing that relationship than anything else.
Absolutely. And this is the God, this is the Creator.
Right.
And the Creator of the universe.
Right.
All I want you to do is have that relationship with me. I approve of you. So what does it matter? I'm not saying I don't remember it all too well, but it was someone said this, that any man who can bow before God can stand before any man.
Mm.
And that was just always stood in my head. If you can bow before the Creator, you can stand before any man. And that's what he asked us to do. And if he does, and with all of that, he still accepts. He approves of us. He accepts our faults. He doesn't accept the wrongdoing, but he accepts who we are on the inside that produces the wrongdoing, that heart that he accepts. And to me, that's just an awesome thing. It is, when I look at that and take it from that perspective, it just doesn't quite matter as much to me what
mm-hmm.
other people say. It just doesn't. But I think what happens is because there's so much coming at us all the time in society, and society sets standards, and it's all kinds of standards. When we don't, if society says we haven't met those standards, then it becomes something to us that's a feeling of rejection for whatever those reasons are that we haven't met. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive toward being, as you mentioned, being a better person or trying to elevate yourself in some way, but you don't feel necessarily that you're a lesser person because you don't meet those standards. And I just think if we can keep that perspective in mind, it's just kind of hard to be so concerned about what a human being thinks of me when
right.
I know that the God of the universe approves of me. And all he asks is just have a relationship with me. I love you. I approve
That's
of you.
That's a good one. That's a good verse. Knew
that
you
is,
and approved of you. That's a great one.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you. Thank you. That also makes me think about, you know, we can get to a point where we even feel rejected by the Creator. You can get so down and out until when things don't go right with your life and in your life, and as you think they should be going, you won't even really seek and serve God because you feel like he too has rejected me. But that verse, knew you and approved of you. We have to get to that place of knowing who we are in order to be transformed. So, thank you, Ms. Earlene. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to check the chat line. Okay, we're okay there. Some personal reactions. Again, we want to understand rejection. So, some personal reactions that rejection will or can project in your life is fear of authority figures, fear of inadequacy, fear of others' opinions, and we talked a little bit about that, criticism and things like that, fear of others' opinions, fear of failure, inability or refusal to communicate. And I share with you that, boy, was I there. I'm doing so much better with expressing and even trying to be mindful of how I say what I'm trying to communicate, because sometimes it's just as important. No, not sometimes. It is just as important how you say what you say. So inability or refusal to communicate, excessive sadness or grief, inadequacy, insecurity, hopelessness, despair, unbelief, negativity, so a negative person, feelings of anxiety, depression, self-condemnation, self-accusation, low self-image, and pessimism, which is really distrust. Now, you hear those things. Those are reactions to rejection. I mean, I just hear what's going on in the world, how people are living and feeling, even our children. And then here are some things that are the aggressive reactions to rejection. So this is the aggressive side, the aggressive reactions to the rejection: argumentative, fighting, criticism, rebellion, anger, temper, stubbornness. That was me too there, working on that. Defiance, swearing, hardness. And hardness, I think a lot of us try to portray like we're hard, I'm tough, you know. Harshness, refusing comfort, which is, to me, refusing to allow people to be there for you, refusing love, refusing your truth. So those are the aggressive reactions to rejection. Taking it a bit further, let's look at some of the attitudes adopted to offset basically the fear. So these are attitudes that we kind of take on to offset the fear of rejection. Self-pity, emotional insecurity. And remember we said earlier during the show that rejection attacks those emotions that are already there. So emotional insecurity, manipulation. We live in a world that people really will try to manipulate you. Possessiveness, envy, jealousy. And as I went through these, I thought about the show we did on the seven deadly sins because it just sounded like that's what I was talking about. But possessiveness, envy, jealousy, pride, haughtiness, arrogance, self-justification, self-righteousness, judging, ridicule, self-centeredness, selfishness, self-protectiveness, striving, competitive, independence, isolation, withdrawal, and perfectionism. So there's a number of things, boy, in there that I have worked to overcome and still have to work daily to overcome and continue to move forward and overcome them. So now let's talk about what are some of the things, the cure, as we come to try to close this up, trying to keep you on an hour. We're just shy of that, so we may just go a little bit over. Of course, again, this depends on you and what, again, your perception, your reality, your rejection. What is rejection to you? What has caused that rejection? So what is the cure? How do we fix this? First and foremost, I really just have to go there. For me, it was just surrendering, giving up, understanding and realizing that my way wasn't working, that I'd be on this high for a minute, this roller coaster, but this high often returns to low. And I feel myself starting all over again with much more baggage than I had before because I wasn't dealing with Tammy. I wasn't dealing with my issues. I wasn't dealing with my pain. I wasn't dealing with my truth, myself. So all this fantasized rejection just build up on top of everything else. And everybody became my enemy. Everything and everybody. So what did it for me was really just surrendering and said, Lord, I give up. As Ms. Earlene, I call her, said, you know, the Creator, He knows more about me than I know about myself. The thoughts that I keep hid from even my best friends, even the people that I love the most and know love me, even those thoughts, He knows. God knows. The Creator knows. So that's first. Another is you just have to realize that just as change is inevitable, so is rejection, because life will happen. Things will happen. People don't have the ability to give you everything you need, how you need it, and when you need it. Even the people that love you the most, they are not capable of doing that. They are not capable of doing that for themselves. So your expectations of people, really, we can't have them. All you can do is express your needs to the best of your ability and be as honest as you could be about who you are and what you need to survive, to make it through your roller coaster ride. I'll say that. So change is inevitable. We get that. This show promotes change and being open to change. So is rejection. Remember the quote. Remember, you could be the juiciest, prettiest, in the most beautiful basket, free, peach in the world, and somebody will still say, I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want that. Get that out of my face. And so what do? You just sit there and rot as a peach? Or do you go find the person that likes peaches, that loves peaches, And remember this. I always get tongue-tied trying to say this quote, but you guys stick with me here. I'm sure this will register with everybody. You can please some of the people some of the time, all of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time. And that is a Lincoln quote. So we can't go around trying. Really, you just got to do you and be yourself and get to know who you are and change the things that you don't like, that's not working for you, and treat people as you want to be treated. Even as you want your children to be treated or someone that you love. But it's kind of hard to do that looking at how family treats family today and the relationship that happens within family. So this thing is so broad. It's so out of control because we've been turned over. One of my favorite verses now is God, I have turned them over to their depraved mind. So much so they create ways to be evil. Look what family will do to family, brother to brother, sister to sister, mothers and daughters, sons and fathers. We got to get back to a point where we embrace life, promote change, starting in us. You can't look at, as I started this show is not about what someone else does to you or doesn't do to you or for you. It's about your personal transformation, your change. Why do you feel rejected? What is the source? What is the root? Because if someone rejects you, really, I mean, what's the issue? Why are they rejecting you? Does it really matter? If they've rejected you, really, does it really matter? But we have to get to a point where we desire what's right, desire to know what's right, and then make an effort at every cost to do what's right. And when you feel rejected, we really have to stop and ask. And this, I want to give you a great example, what I think a great example of this. Sometimes we feel rejected. I'm going to use relationship because most of us, you know, we get engaged when we talk about our relationships, men and women, so to speak. And think about a time where you've really been indecisive about where a relationship, the direction of a relationship is going, and you want to kind of break it off, but, you know, maybe not, whatever. Let's say before you're able to break it off, the person that you're in a relationship with breaks it off. And, of course, you go into this mode, well, I know he didn't, or no, she didn't. I know this kind of attack mode, oh, no. Okay, well, let's say you go some weeks, days, whatever, going through your ups and downs, and you're trying to figure out what happened. You're stressed out about it. Although, now, keep in mind, you wasn't really sure that this was it for you anyway. But just because this person has decided to say, well, you know what, I'm going to step away, I don't want this, then all of a sudden these emotions fly. And let's just say weeks have passed, and one day you get a call or you get an email. And maybe women go through this more than men, but just the simple fact that the person reached out to you gives you this newfound arrogance, like, oh, no, I don't want you anyway, da-da-da. But before, you've been on the fence. How dare he, how dare she, what's wrong with me, why did they do this to me? But just the fact that this person reached out and showed some kind of interest, it gives you this new thing, this new oomph about yourself to kind of keep going. It kind of redefines things. And I'm saying this to say, in most cases, the thing that we feel rejected by or the person we feel rejected by, if we really take the time to determine, what have I really lost here? What did I really want here? How was it going to better my life? What was I going to gain by it? What was I gaining during the process? And if you really trust and have faith in the Creator, and you know that you're seeking and serving God, and you believe that He ordered yourself, and rejection is really protection, and that no weapons formed against you shall prosper, and that God will move people and things out of your life because they're not supposed to be there, that thing is not supposed to be there. Really, what are we worrying about being rejected for? Maybe we're worried because we know that we're not, our steps are not, they're being ordered, but we're not there to see them being ordered. We don't know which way to go because, again, like I said, we're waiting on God's voice to come through the iPhone on the app, the word of the day, instead of spending time and getting having a relationship to where you can hear the voice. So you know before the person rejects you or before the thing rejects you, you know that it's, you know because the Holy Spirit tells you so. You almost, it doesn't sneak up on you. So we have to really understand rejection. Another example I was listening, I'm going to close here. I'm going to close out. I'm going to just close it out. I'm going to skip some things. I was probably giving you too much. I want you to do some research on this on your own. I was watching, and I've watched Home Alone I don't know how many times. I can't even tell you. I probably could write the movie out. I watched it, one of my favorite shows. I was watching it this weekend. And if you've watched it, you remember the episode where, I don't know the little boy's name, but he runs into the homeless lady in the park. I believe they were in the park. And she's explaining to him that she's afraid to love again because she's afraid that her heart will be broken again. She's afraid that her heart will get hurt again. And he said, and I'm saying this in my language, what's the use of being afraid of your heart being hurt if you're not using it anyway? You know, what's the use of being afraid that someone's hurt? You're not using it. So might as well use it and let it get broke, you know? So that reminded me of so many things. And I've watched that movie at least, I'm telling you, at least 20 times plus, because it's one of my favorite movies. But I got stuck on that part. And a lot of us have a lot of things in us that we're not using because all of these emotions have taken over our life, rejection, feeling, all these things that I've explained to you that we get out of rejection, the fear and all of that. We have a lot of things inside of us that we're not using, that we're not utilizing. We have some gifts inside of us that we're not utilizing because of fear of rejection, fear of inadequacy, all those things that the attitudes that we take on, the aggressive reactions, the personal reactions, they're hindering the gifts. They're hindering your relationship with yourself, with the Creator. They're hindering someone else seeing God's glory being revealed through you because you won't allow the change, the transformation to take change. You get so caught up in so-and-so don't want to be with me. I didn't get this job. I didn't get this house. Whatever. There's a house on my street that I really wanted. Because it seemed to have everything, the layout, it was in the corner, sitting just perfect, I thought. Perfect. And there was quite a bit of time went by, I thought, boy, and now I'm in my house, blessed, and I still would pass by that house and often meant, wow, I wish I could have got that house. It wasn't until I saw them out digging the grounds up. It seems like something major was going on. I mean, they were in the ground for days. And since then, there's been something else that has gone around. It's like major construction going on. People have to come out like they're digging, like pipelines have burst or something, like bad. And I instantly thought, you know, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's down the road. So when someone is taken out of your life, when you don't get a job, imagine people who were turned, who didn't get a job in the Twin Towers. You know how many people probably applied for jobs and didn't get jobs in the Twin Tower? Imagine what they must have felt like on that day. Even if they were unemployed, homeless, on the streets, imagine what they must have felt like that day. Imagine. So we have to understand and know who we are first. even in order to really understand God and how much He loves us. Because if you don't love what God created, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love the Creator? You guys, I don't know what happened there. I apologize. It just simply went dead. But I'm going to get through this. Thank you all for hanging in out there. If that ever happens, please just continue to stick in there, because technology is something else. So here we go. But I'm going to just start where I think I left off. But walking by our feelings is like walking through the world, really, really with our heart on our sleeves. And we can't do that because, again, we're going to be hurt. People are going to disappoint us. Life is going to disappoint us because we really do live in a fallen world. So what we choose to do with the hurt, the disappointment, is up to us. We can either allow it to help us grow stronger and walk in our destiny stronger, or we can walk around in a fallen world being wounded as well. But it's our choice. It's really our choice. God makes it so clear and so possible for us to walk through all disappointments in life with really the knowledge of who He is, His provision for us. It works if we just will allow it. His grace, His comfort, His mercy, if we will just rest in Him. And forget about all the other stuff. We can't handle it anyway. But there is a choice that we can make. That's why I started this show off. It's not about what someone does to you, how someone does it to you. It's about you, how you see life, how you accept things, how you perceive life, because we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be rejected. We're going to be. You're going to suffer disappointment in your life, even as believer, even as a follower. God says, the word says, consider it pure joy when you go through things. And you have to remember that you are a child of the King. But what does that mean? If you're a child of the King, then you got to spend time with the King. You got to spend time with the King. You know, God put a word in my spirit, and I really need to start writing these things down. I really, really do. And I'm giving all the glory to God because of the time I spend in my word. Because I just realized the other stuff does not work. It does not work. I spent, not bragging, but I spent about an hour and 45 minutes reading my Bible today. And it changes your day. It changes your life. It changes, I mean, the way you look at what's going on in the world. Government shutdown, really? Really? Not that I'm not concerned about people, but if government shutdown is our concern, we've not seen what's to come. That's the least of our worries. So even worrying about being rejected by somebody, who, what, when, what control do they have of you? How and what value do they bring to your life? At the end of the day, if you're not worrying about you, yourself, your spirit, and what's going, the root of your issues, if you're not worrying about that and trying to determine how to fix those things, you will forever, forever be on that roller coaster. So you have a choice to either allow the bumps in your life to derail you and walk wounded, or you could choose to claim your heritage as a child of God and move forward knowing who you are and whose you are. Forgiving people, forgiving yourself, loving people, loving yourself, and putting your trust and your faith in the Creator. Because you're going to have to deal with people. You're going to have to deal with life. You're going to have to deal with change. You're going to have to deal with rejection, disappointment, and all the above. So, that being said, That's all I have. I hope that this show has blessed you. And again, don't stop here. Whatever you're dealing with, if you didn't hear anything else, deal with your truth. Deal with you, who you are. And don't let people, things, circumstances control your life, who you are, how you feel, your peace, your contentment, your love for yourself, your love for God. Don't allow this world and the things of this world, the disappointment, to bury your spirit, your gifts. And that's what we're doing. Parents, we got to do better. I'm going to get off a little bit here. Parents, we got to do better. Women, we have to do better. Next month, I'm doing a show all the month, and I may even do a couple of shows a week. Women, who are we? Where are we? What are we doing? How are we parenting? You know, regardless, there's a reason for daddy's, mama's baby, daddy's maybe, because regardless, mama was there. Mama was going to be there. Come hell or high water, mama always had your best interest. Mama would step in front of a truck for you. Mama would lock you up before she let the police lock you up. Where are we? Where are we? I was out, and I see my friend out there. I won't say her name. She's funny about this stuff. But I was out. She took her daughter to take the ACT. I believe it's the ACT. SAT, one of them. And I'm speaking to my race, my African-American people. Where are we? Where is the unity? You go, it's free at a university. And I believe two students of color was in there amongst many. What are we doing? Do you know where your child is? Do you even care? Do you ask? When they go to someone's house, do you know the address? Do you know the phone number? Do you know their parents' name? Do you know who lives there? You're sending your daughters off to houses with men in it that you don't even know, because just so that you can get out and shake your stuff and lay up and do whatever you want to do with a man. So I'm attacking hard in November, because we got to know and we got to hear the truth. Because we're men saying December's going to be men's month, and I'm going to have some men on here to tell y'all about yourself. Because we got to do better. And we can't continue to go around saying that we love God and we are servants of God, and our children are being denied, deprived. I'm not talking about Nikes and jackets or phones and all that. I mean the things that are going to get them through, emotionally through, to the next level. So if you have a story to tell, if you have some show ideas for even the Women's Month or the Men's Month, December will be a short month because of the holidays. I'm going to take some Mondays off at the very end, but we're still going to, that's what I'm going to do, as many shows as I possibly can during that time, during those first few weeks, and same for the Women's Month. But if you have some show ideas, or if you want to be a part of any show dealing with the women or the men, and I hope to have our young people on after that. I hope to bring the young people together to listen to both shows and get probably about 8 to 10 young boys and young girls in to do a show to kind of bring it all together to help us understand how they feel about our choices, about what they see us doing versus what we're saying. So, you know, we can choose the reality shows, and we are choosing them because they continue to bring them. There's so much junk and so much mess on TV, so much. So we can choose. Just in this situation, we make a choice. We make a choice to walk around wounded, or to allow those bumps to roll over those bumps knowing who we are. Don't allow those bumps to derail and you walking around wounded. Choose to claim who you are and whose you are. But you got to know. You got to know. You got to know who you are. You got to know who God is. You got to know the word. So no longer do we need to feel rejected or anything else. And if you do, if we are, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. The more you not deal with yourself, your truth, and your issues, it's like I said, every time I go up, but when I come down, I go back up with much, much more. The Bible speaks of that. When the spirit had left and spirit came back and realized, hey, got another entrance, and get right, and bought more. That's how life is. When we don't deal with it, overlook it, more comes in. More comes in. So thank you all again for tuning in tonight. Let's see, I have got a message in. Let's see here. If a parent, this is a text that came in. If a parent does not know themselves, their kids will not either. So good point, good point. And we have a lot of that, a lot of parents walking around still trying to find themselves, whether it be through a job, through a career, through a man, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not neglecting your responsibility as a parent. And I know a show a couple of weeks ago, we kind of went back and forth because, you know, some people really – just think, oh, because a parent works and they're doing this, but they don't have time. Crap. That's crap. Because as I said on that show, I know women who are doing it. The person who just sent me that text, doing it. School, work, kids, in every kind of event, doing it. But that same parent who declares they don't have time to do all these things for and with their kids, let them meet a man. And boy, all the time in the world shows up. Or let him meet a woman. All the time in the world shows up. You know, what if we treated our relationship with our Creator how, and I'm going to say this for women, how we treat a new relationship with a man. What if we spent just as much? Because, you know, before then, we don't have time. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time. I'm tired. It's raining. But meet a man. You got time to go, do, play, whatever. And I'm not just talking to y'all. I'm talking to myself, too. You have to get to that point where you just really desire, again, you desire what's right, you desire to know what's right, and then you desire to say, I'm just going to have to do what's right. Because remember, is your way working? Has it worked for you? What do you have to lose? So I will end. I'm going to check the chat line before I end. I don't want to miss anybody. Quiet out there. Our guests out there, it's very quiet. Again, hopefully you all have enjoyed the show and have heard something that will motivate you to just put down the stuff. Don't live in the past because it destroys your present and your future. Know who you are so you can capture those thoughts. Eliminate the ones that are taking you off course or that will take you off course, and live in the ones that are directing you to the place that you want to go. But you have to know where you want to go. You have to spend time with yourself. Cut off the TV. Let some things go. Let some people go. Get to know you. Go out to eat by yourself. Read a book. Go to the park, walk, take a walk with you. Stop all the drama, all the gossiping, all the backstabbing, all the talking about people. When your life ain't right, when you're miserable, it don't work. And people know. People see right through it. People see right through all of your stuff. So, again, I'm going to end. Thank you all. And thank you for hanging in there when it, for whatever reason, got disconnected. Don't know what happened with that. But thank you all for hanging in there. We did good. We didn't go 2 hours, an hour and a half. So, thank you. Next week, we're going different topic next week. I'm going to have actually the young man, Andre Curry, who was on previously, talking about, I believe it was Temptation, the movie Temptation Scandal and things like that. He was talking about the things that our media portrays and how it affects us. It was that show, and I don't remember exactly what we named that show, but he was on at that time. But he's going to be on next Monday night. There's such an interesting, and I hope I say this right, etymology, I think that's the name of it, words and things like that, what we say, and how it the words we speak, so to speak. So I don't know a lot about that. I'm interested because, again, I hear more people getting into the true meaning of words. And I know since the show, I've found just a true liking for understanding what this word means and what does this really mean. Do I really understand? And I'm finding that I really don't. I need to go back to school for real. So a lot of things I just really don't understand. I think I know, but if I have to explain it, and they always say if you think you're smart, try to teach someone something or explain something that you think you understand to someone. You'll realize just how much you don't know. So tune in for that show. The kids may even be interested in hearing something like that. So that's next week's show. And then the show after that, we're going to have Alicia Broughton, I think her name is. She's just going to be talking about overcoming beyond all obstacles. She has a true story to tell about overcoming things in life. So thank you, and you all have a wonderful, wonderful night. Please do share the show with someone. Real quick, I am excited. For those of you who are in Memphis and you are available next weekend, the Gundy King Conference is next weekend. Butterfly Evolution is in the house. I'm going to be speaking to the youth on Friday at Bridges. So I am excited about that. So be in prayer for that. If you can't make it, even if you're out of state and you want to make a donation, just Google the Gundy King Conference, 2013 Conference. Lots of ways to contribute to that. If you can't, at least pray that the kids are receiving and accepting to whatever positiveness is that is given out there. So I'm excited and hope that it will open doors for other engagements and opportunities with the youth. The other thing, we have Unlimited Education that I'm working with someone out of Fort Lauderdale to bring the program here. I spent some time discussing and talking about that program in great detail again last night. So I am going to need a team of people in this area because it's a program that will not stop. So they're actually wanting to come in and train people to do these workshops in all of our areas, and it's basically getting back to the basics of ethics, morals, and values. So if you're near, or even if you want to do something like this in your state, your city, you know, that's even more important. I need just a few more minutes of your time because that's more important. What are you doing to give back? What are you doing to help people get out of their mess? Especially our children. Because to see it and do nothing, to know about it and do nothing, you're just as guilty. Sentence you to. So there's so much you can do, so much. If you can't get out, if you sit at home and you know how to stamp letters, so much you can do. Get involved. Do something. Start with your church. Start reaching out and finding out what's going on in your area, in your communities, where you could go out and help out. Volunteer. There's no reason not to do something because there's so much needed and so many people are needed. So do something. So if that's something that you think, you hear this for you, even the archive listeners, if it's something that you think, hey, I want to hear more about Unlimited Education, we did the show a few weeks ago. You can look it up there, and I believe Dale gave out his number there. If you can't, send me an email, reach out to me on Facebook. All of my information is out there, so get in contact with me. But for those of you who are in Memphis and surrounding areas, we're looking to do the workshops at churches, at community centers. Even we can come in and do it in your home, 15 to 25 kids, depending on how big your home is. And this is a program where these kids will be assisted throughout, you know, for the next year and a half or two, so they for progress, and it's a workshop for the parents as well. So I'm finding that many, many church leaders, youth leaders, when you reach out to them, they it's work. It's work. They want to show up on Sunday, and I'm whatever, be offended, feel rejected, whatever, deal with it, your problem. But when you reach out for things, you're thinking, who wouldn't want ethics, morals, and values? Who wouldn't want to get that in front of some kid? But I'm just going to say this. Hey, move right along. Pass by you. If not your church, then it's not rejection. It means it's not supposed to be at your church. You're not ready for this. You're not on that level. So move on to the next one. So if you have a church, you know where there's kids, community center, you have some contacts, please let me know, especially for this area. Now, that being said, not every church has said no to this. Some are open-minded about it. I'm thankful for that. I still have a lot more to reach out. And that's even if you're out of town, you can do that. You can make some calls. You can help make calls and introduce the program. You can do so much. So, again, there's so many ways to give back. Thank you all. I can go on all night, so I'm just going to stop there. If you want any information, reach out to me on Facebook or send me an email through the Blog Talk site. My cell number is out there as well, 901-830-6088. So there's no reason for you not to be able to contact me. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. And remember, you control how you react to things and what happens to you. You have control over it all. No, don't give anyone, anything, circumstances, control over your life. Have a blessed night. Look forward to having you back here next Monday, same time. Thank you.
Moment I've been waiting on. And my soul is overflowing with anxieties and expectations, full of desire.
Oh,
I just want it so bad.
Oh,
you know,
baby.
And it just seems so real. It's right there. Just want to reach out and touch it before it all disappears.
Sometimes it feels like everything is passing me by. Every now and then it feels like my ship has gone and sailed away. But I gotta be strong. Gotta hold on. It won't be too long.
Now the tide is coming in. I see the waves flowing out there on the ocean. I know my ship is coming in. Just at the horizon. And right where the sky ends.
Out there on the ocean. Know my ship is coming in. So don't leave me hanging. I've been waiting too long for this moment. My ship has finally come.